Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Hey there, everybody. This is Tim Miller here with The Bulwark. Hope you're here for the live stream that I'm going to be doing tonight. It's my third try at one of these. We're trying things a little bit different tonight, not with the wine, actually. That's going to still be the orange. And, well, actually, most things are going to be the same as it's been before. You can kind of see it on the screen there. I'll just put it back over here. And you might notice, you know, I'm making some changes. I was inspired by Brian Gnome, and I thought that, I don't know, I was kind of interested in the bimbofication scene. And this week I've been kind of asking some people about it, Googling incognito mode, just trying to learn a little bit more about bimbofication. I was like, maybe this might be for me. I don't know. What do you guys think? We'll be taking your comments and questions on Substack and YouTube, so you can give me your thoughts on whether I should keep bimbofying or not. It does bring back kind of a negative memory, I guess I would say, of high school and trying to dress up like a woman as a gag and then kind of receiving some negative feedback about that and how that might mean I'm a homosexual and getting bullied. And so it does bring back a little bit of negative ramifications. So on the other hand, I can kind of see why women get into it. I'm not exactly sure what Brian was doing, but anyway, we'll see how it goes. We're going to be talking about Pam Bondi today and Hassan Piker, and we're going to be talking about the wheels coming off of the Trump train altogether, and just like it is wild how some of his biggest supporters from the 2024 campaign are now sounding more like me about what we need to do with Trump, then they sound like Democrats on the Hill. I mean, the Democrats on the Hill have been outflanked by some far-right podcasters. So we'll be getting to that, and we'll get into your questions. We'll start with some of your questions, actually. We got some previewed on Substack about Bondi. When I taped the pod earlier with Susan Glasser, I was not bimbofying yet, and we had just learned that Bondi was likely to be fired, so we didn't know the facts yet. So we did not know, for example, that she begged like a dog. Which is what the Daily Mail reported. She begged to keep her job and didn't happen for her, which is unfortunate. Chris Handy asks, will Gates make his triumphant return to the public service? I don't think so. I don't think so. He's looking a little bloated. Nick Guttenson asks, over under on Hegseth being the next to go. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about whether Hegseth will be the next to go or not. I don't know. What do you think about that? Maybe. I think probably there'll be another woman. He seems to be firing all the women, so probably Tulsi would be next, in my opinion. Brian, is Pam Bondi the worst person to come out of Tampa, or is it Hulk Hogan or Kaylee McEnany? Oh, boy. Between those three, it's a competitive category. I mean, the Hulkster really, really took a negative turn. I'm Googling right now, famous people from Tampa. Let's do this together. This is why we have the stream, isn't it, Jared? We'll pull this up over here. Famous people from Tampa. People can watch them they want to. What do we got here? There are other famous people. Dave Bautista is great. Love that guy. He was a big supporter of our work at Republican Voters Against Trump. I got to make this a little bigger for you people, don't I? John Cena seems fine. He's done some work with China. I don't love. Tom Cruise resides there. Aaron Andrews, nice. I don't know anything about Dinch actress Sarah Paulson. Aaron Carter was there. Dwight Gooden, Doc, he liked to do drugs. Gilbert Arenas brought a gun into the locker room. Tampa really breaks a certain type, doesn't it? Oh, no, we've had the answer. I am sorry. to the questioner, but Dan Blazarian is like an actual Nazi. I think we're gonna have to go with him. Pam Bondi a close second, and we'll put Kaylee there on the metal stand. Celia asks, curious Tim thoughts on the fact that it's two women who've been ousted so far, given that they're all terrible. I think it's noteworthy. And Susan Glasser was so good on this, talking about just how like women have to look a certain way to even be considered for Trump. They have to sort of bimbo-fy themselves just to even be considered. And then they're the ones that get pushed aside. And Cash, by no metric could you look at Cash and say he's done a better job than Pam Bondi, right? I mean, like you could maybe say even. I think there's probably some pretty good arguments that he's been worse than Pam Bondi. And so I do think that maybe there's some sexism there. Sexism in the Trump White House? No, no. Kathy Lassen asked, do you think Donnie will nominate Blanche? We're going to talk about that. But before we start going forward, take one last look at the bimbofication, because I think this is it. I like that. Let me take the shoulder down a little bit. Oh, let's go give the full shoulder. Oh, yeah. That's nice. One last look at the bimbofication. I don't think it's for me. No judgment, though, Brian. Whatever you're into, that's fine. We might talk a little bit more about that in a second. But our guy Jared put together just something to honor the people that have given us so much content over the last year and a half that have now moved on to better pastures. Let's give that a watch. Oh, you're going to keep me on the screen?
Have you apologized to President Trump? You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. They are talking about Epstein today. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. That's what we should be talking about.
So, Secretary Noem, at any time during your tenure as Director of Department of Homeland Security, have you had sexual relations with Corey Lewandowski?
Mr. Chairman, I am shocked that we're going down and peddling tabloid garbage in this committee today.
Reclaiming
and
my
ma'am,
time.
One thing that I would tell you is that he is a special government employee who works for the White House.
You must be a very special little boy, but I hear that you're starting to use the big boy toilet. So congratulations, and you're doing a great job with your poopies. Congratulations. I know your mom is gonna be so happy for you, and I wanna thank you in advance for being a Donald Trump supporter when you get older. All the best from your daddy, Papa Dickie.
Wasn't that nice? Isn't that nice? What do you think? Pretty good size. Pretty good size. The producer Chris told me to use this side for the front, something I hadn't considered as somebody doesn't spend a lot of time thinking about bazingas. All right, we're back to a normal outfit now. I did wear my pearls for you. We had a commenter that wanted me to bring my pearls back on, and I got them for you. All right, Amy, I'm doing it. You said your mental health required me to be in the pearls. I got them. No more bimbofication for me, though. The question was, before we went to that in memoriam, which is really nice, just really touching, actually. I started to kind of get emotional. Kathy asked about the nomination. Maybe Blanche. Here's the thing. So I think it's 210 days, give or take. If that's really wrong, Ansley, jump in. But where you can be acting attorney general. And so that takes us past the election. And I just don't think he can risk keeping in an attorney general in an acting role where you have to get a confirmation next year. We talked about this with Susan Glasser. This is his last chance to get someone confirmed that might do his dirty work. So I assume he's going to try to push somebody through quickly. I think it could be Blanche. I was interested in some senators tossed out Mike Lee. I think they're sort of ready to get rid of Mike Lee. They're tired of sitting with him in the lunchroom. And so I think that could be a possibility. Some discussion of Lee Zeldin out there. I don't, that doesn't really ring right to me, but maybe. I don't see how Judge Box of Wine or Alina Hava gets through a confirmation. Those are other people that are on the list. So looking at Blanche, and here we can pull up a little screen share for everybody. He's prepared some things for you guys. We've got here, this was Blanche at CPAC this past week. Was it this week? Time's a flat circle. It was Blanche at CPAC here recently. And Jared, can we pull up the screen here? Yeah, here we go. And this is him talking about the work that's been happening at the DOJ to date. Let's give that a little watch here.
The other things that are happening, there is not a single man or woman at the Department of Justice who had anything to do with those prosecutions. Over
how many have been canned?
Over 200 either left before we came in because they knew it was coming or were fired or took early retirement. They are no longer employed by this department. And when it comes to the FBI, which takes a lot of criticism, especially because of what happened over the past several years, Director Patel has cleaned house there, too. There isn't a single man or woman with a gun, federal agent, still in that organization that had anything to do with the prosecution of President Trump. The other things that are happening, there is not a single...
That's that clip. Sorry, I didn't know if they were going to replay it again, but...
Who had anything to
Grandpa
do.
Grandpa Tim is bimbofying himself and struggling to get this out of the screen. Okay, here we go. Bimbofied. You know, on the bimbofied live stream, there's going to be me being a bimbo a little bit. So it's just going to be part of the deal. Wayne asked what happens to Todd Blanche in this. Look, you just listen to it there. This dude is shameless. And he's shameless. Like, he is at a partisan conference on stage with a man who has been credibly accused of sexual assault against multiple younger men, okay, pretending to be a happy family man. He's sitting there on stage to a half-empty room talking about how they fired a bunch of people who did nothing except for their jobs. They're just career officials, the DOJ and FBI, that were assigned to the investigation against Trump because Trump committed a lot of crimes. They fired all of them. And so there he is bragging about that. Because he sees that as his job, doing Donald Trump's dirty work, because he was Donald Trump's lawyer. And so that, to me, is the top qualification for the Pam Bondi replacement. I think a mark against him probably being considered is that, like, he's part of the Bondi Justice Department. So he's going to have to convince Trump that he would have done better than she did at going after his foes, even though he was there as her lead hatchet man. That might be a tough sell, but what the hell do I know? Blanche also obviously was the one that gave the sweetheart deal to Ghislaine Maxwell. So if you're looking for positive news for the Epstein victims, I don't think you're going to get it from him.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
I want to shoot your questions to us on Substack, on YouTube. Towards the end, I'm going to get to a bunch of them. I'm going to run through some now. And then, as I promised many people on social media and elsewhere, I'm going to give you my definitive take on the Hassan Piker discourse. But let's go through a couple of your comments here. First, Sporty Geeko was so excited she couldn't focus on work. I love that you're live streaming me at work. shout out to your boss. And I hope me and the Tatas was as good as you could have possibly imagined. Sporty Geek Girl also is filled with joy, which I appreciate. A lot of messages from Sporty Geek Girl, which is nice. Gnome and Bondi, Lori, Gnome and Bondi were horrible at their jobs and as people. Yeah, Heritage Foundation will get back at them. That's true, too. This is an interesting question. Defiant Lynx, is this a ploy to keep her from testifying? I don't know. You saw congressional Dems out there today in AOC and Oversight. Robert Garcia was saying this, that no, this is not a ploy. This is not going to get her out of testifying. They still want her to testify on Epstein. They're going to bring her to Congress. And I guess you could hide a subpoena and fight it out like Steve Bannon did. But that is going to be an issue for her. Oh, JVL would be so happy to see this. Roger, JVL is a spirit animal. JVL, you know. JVL, did you vote for JVL in the stupid Webbies? JVL wants a Webby, okay? He wants a Webby. Why? We don't know. He doesn't know. He's got a lot of love in the home. He has 100 children. Great wife. Why would he need a Webby? Don't know. Maybe it's just about living in New Jersey. If you're in New Jersey that long, you get a little sad and you want additional trophies to go next to your pinball machines. Trump is throwing married female members out of his administration like a volcano. Linda McMahon, Pirro, and Gabbard. Linda McMahon is a good pick. She's really hidden to the background, huh? Speaking about bimbofication, there's a lot of bimbofication in the WWF. Selma asked if this was AI. No, that was not AI. I just was exploring a different side of myself. Sporty Geek Girl again, Caroline, leave it, as JVL likes to say. Get JVL popular in these comments. Wayne, Trump's minions are like us. It's really hard to figure out. Okay. Lindsey Halligan thrown out there as a potential choice. I don't see how she could get through confirmation. We're all going to take a deep breath together. I'm going to take a sip of my orange wine. We're going to do Hassan discourse. Then we're going to get into some fun stuff. That sound okay for everybody? All right, here we go. So, Hassan Piker. For people who do not know who that is, bless you, good for you, whatever, you know, it's a big world out there. If you don't care or know about this fight, this inter-Nicene fight, the Democratic Party over Israel and Hassan Piker and et cetera, Jerry, we can just pull me up. We don't need to keep looking at creepy-ass Matt Schlapp. I'll pull this back up in a second. People who don't care about Piker, you know, this is the nice thing about streaming. You can go grab a beer. You can turn on This Is Us. You can turn on the basketball game. I'll be done with this in about 8 to 9 minutes. People don't know Hassan. He's a streamer, which I'm aspiring to be. He's a leftist, very associated with, you know, like the anti-Israel, Palestine cause, the God, you know, arguing passionately, you know, about the Gaza, what he would call the Gaza genocide. He's been very popular kind of in DSA world online, living the Twitch streamer life. You know, I mean, does he have as many viewers a night as Maddow? No. But he's got a big audience. The audience is a lot of people that maybe Democrats could need. It's a lot of disaffected Democrats. Sometimes one of my complaints with Hassan is that sometimes he focuses his complaints a little too much on the Democrats when given the threat of the other side. But like on balance, you know, he's also spent a lot of time criticizing Republicans. And I think you have this disaffected group of whether they be kind of independents or young people or folks that like think that both parties are bad, particularly when it comes to foreign policy. And they tune into Hassan. So it's a pretty important kind of demo, actually, for Democrats to try to recapture. I think Democrats did not do as well as they should have last cycle with voters who really are opposed to foreign wars, because Donald Trump lied to them and said that he was opposed to foreign wars. And they also were, you know, perceived Kamala to be more hawkish than she was. You know, I had Phil Gordon on to, you know, on this very point, Kamala's national security advisor, like talk through what her foreign policy would have actually been. And she definitely wouldn't have had us in this stupid war. I think we know that now. And I think even Hassan would grant that. But, you know, there is a group of sort of leftist agitator types that very unhappy with the Democratic Party. He's an avatar, a front man kind of for that wing of the party. Okay. So He becomes a flashpoint because this group called the Third Way, which represents kind of the centrist wing of the party, criticized Abdul al-Sayed and is running for Senate in Michigan against Haley Stevens and Mallory McMorrow. They criticized Abdul for campaigning with Piker. They said the Democrats should shun him. They listed a bunch of offensive and crazy shit Piker has said over the years. And, you know, he streams like a million hours a day and is a leftist, right? So like he has some extreme and outlandish views that if you, kind of cherry pick the worst ones, and I kind of went through that list. You know, one of the ones that people come to that I saw Piker walk back recently in an interview with Philip DeFranco was like calling Orthodox Jews inbred. I think that was one of the ones they point to when they speak to like the fact that he's an anti-Semite. But some of the other ones are, you know, a lot of attacks on Israel and you know, I think some tanky-ish views about China and Russia. So I said, but really the critique is about Israel and the fact that he is anti-Semitic. This is a critique coming from the Third Way. So they said the Democrats should shun it. Put out a big press release about this. No campaigning, no nothing with Hassan Piker. It was interesting that Graham Plattner in Maine actually canceled an event with Piker after that. So it wasn't as if there was not some effect to this pressure. After that, there's this like blog called The Jewish Insider that you would think right now, you know, given all the things happening in Israel, whether that be in Lebanon or Iran and elsewhere, I mean, they are our partner in this really stupid war. And BB was a big influence on us being involved in this war. You'd think that an organization called Jewish Insider would be like focusing on the inside story of that. They're not doing that. They're posting, as far as I can tell, a lot about Hassan Piker and, you know, his past comments on his live stream. So Jewish Insider then sends a questionnaire to John Ossoff, the senator from Georgia, saying, hey, will you rebuke Hassan on this list of things that he's said that were bad? And John Ossoff didn't reply. And then Jewish Insider wrote an article about why John Ossoff didn't reply. And it's like, why were they emailing John Ossoff in the first place? Well, it's because Hassan Piker said he liked John Ossoff, who's maybe a sleeper for him for 2028. And it's like, so John Ossoff, the senator for Georgia, has to account for the opinions of every person that says that they like him. I don't think that's a meaningful standard that we should be holding politicians to. So anyway, I posted that I thought that the John Ossoff campaign and anybody else running in 2028, if they're sent a questionnaire by some interest group that has a blog asking about their thoughts on Hassan Piker, they should tell him to eat shit. That is my main thought. I don't think this is very useful internal fight for a Democratic politician to be getting into. They should be focusing their fight on Donald Trump. So I want to go deeper on that and like what I think people should do with regards to Piker in a second. I will say this, just before I go off on the Third Way and Jewish Insider and all these other candidates that are trying to make Piker the flashpoint. I've met Hassan. We're on a panel together. As a matter of fact, we can pull up this photo. Yeah, here, all of the people that hate Hassan always tweet me this photo and say that I'm like a pal with a terrorist or something because I happen to be standing next to him on this panel. This is a cropped photo. There are other people next to us. If someone points a camera at me, I smile, even if I am not bimbo-fied. So Hassan and I are on this panel. It's a Crooked Media panel. We got invited. John Lovett was moderator, my friend John Lovett. And it was kind of a spicy panel, actually. It was just funny that if people like share this as like we are, it means that we are all buddies. The panel got most attention. I think The Atlantic wrote a whole article about how it was the spiciest panel at CrookedCon. Simone Sanders was there. I was arguing with Simone. I was arguing with Hassan. Jess Charloff was arguing with Hassan. Why don't we just play one little clip of me arguing with Hassan so you just can get a sense of the conversation.
I'm here for Qatar, too. Does Qatar have a right to exist only if everybody has equal rights for all religions? Is that true for Qatar?
I don't.
Or just Israel?
No, I don't care. I mean, yeah. Okay, no nation state has a right to exist, including Qatar. Like, I don't know why you're bringing up Qatar, like, as though I'm going to be like, oh, my God, Qatar. Like, no, they pay me so much money.
I just say, I don't know why that's the only country that doesn't have a right to exist unless they get equal rights for everybody.
Because it's an ethno state.
So all of the countries in that region are an ethno state.
No, if you can.
Qatar's an ethno state. Iran's an ethno state. Jordan's an ethno state. Saudi's an ethno state. state. So I'm okay with criticizing Israel. I'm just saying, let's
So you're okay. So you're okay with all of these other countries being ethnostates, then, and you're not just using that as a deflective mechanism to move the attention away from.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
So the heart of my criticism there, as you can see, is just that, like, I have a lot of criticisms of Israel right now, which we can get to that. Very many. They grow every day, as a matter of fact. But I can understand people who, you know, particularly Jews, who, like, get their back up and say it feels anti-Semitic if, like, you only attack Israel because they're an ethnostate and that people don't have equal rights in the country. It's true. Everyone should have equal rights in Israel. That's a legit criticism of Israel. But it's like, if you are only going on Israel, 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 it's like, well, every country in that region is an ethnostate where people don't have equal rights. Like, you can't be a gay Christian or, you know, in any of those countries, or atheist. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go into Saudi Arabia and expect to have equal rights, you know, if you're whatever, Jewish or Buddhist or gay, right? Like, so... That is true of a lot of countries. It's a fair criticism of Israel. I think that there is a belief sometimes from folks, from Jewish folks, I think are sensitive, rightly, to anti-Semitism, that Israel gets singled out because there's an anti-Semitic subtext. So that was what we were kind of addressing. My substantive critiques with Hassan, which I shared with him on that stage and off, we talked for a long time in the green room, is simping for China. I just don't, like, China is a repressive authoritarian state. That's what we're fighting here. And I think at times he's much too favorable to China for my taste. I think that, you know, at times there's some playing footsie with anti-Semites in ways that I don't really love. Like, some of the arguments, again, I can understand why they would make people uncomfortable. For example, he just tweeted earlier this week criticizing the state senator running for Congress in California, Scott Wiener. And he kind of listed the Wiener's offenses, and one of them was after October 7th, he visited Israel. And I asked Hassan, I was like, why is that a problem? Who cares? Like, that feels like anti-Semitism to me. Like, he visited Israel. And Hassan's point of view is that Israel's kind of like South Africa and we should be boycotting it. Okay, I don't know. I mean, again, I think that there are a lot of countries that are really bad. And if we're just focusing on that one, I understand why some people have concerns about that. But I also have a ton of Israel criticisms with Israel, by the way. And Israel continues every day to validate the arguments of their critics. And so that kind of complicates things as well. The most important disagreement I have with Hassan is that I just am not sure fundamentally that he's a small L liberal. We jokingly said when I went on to the... what was it called? The Jubilee Show, Surrounded. And they called me a liberal millennial. And people were like, Tim, are you a liberal now? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a liberal, like a small L liberal. I believe in liberal values, right? I believe in pluralism. I believe that we need to respect everybody. You know, everyone in this country has a right to the religion they want, the speech they want. We have to live peaceably with people who have views that we think are gross. Like, that's part of being in a liberal society, sort of being in a liberal democracy. The Bulwark is here to defend liberal democracy. I think there's a huge threat to liberal democracy right now from the MAGA right. That is the main threat that the country faces. It's a bunch of authoritarian shitheads on the right that are trying to end this great experiment of liberal democracy that we have in this country. And I spend all of my days fighting that. I think that there's some, if you take a peek at the left, I think that there's some illiberal stuff being said on the left. And I think that the China thing is just one example, but there are many where there's some folks on the left that want kind of a strong leader of their own. I don't want to impute that on Hassan exactly, but some of his arguments would lead me to believe that he's not exactly an enthusiastic defender of liberal democracy, let's just say. So if we ever get to a point where there's a Hassan-style candidate running for president, and then there's more of like a, you know, a more traditional liberal candidate running in a Democratic primary, I will be for more of the traditional liberal candidate, right? Obviously. And we can fight that out. But like, my main thing about right now about this Hassan discourse is like, none of that's happening right now. None of that's happening right now. The only reason we're talking about Hassan is because other members ostensibly of the anti-Trump coalition have tried to turn him into a litmus test and say that people can't be seen with him. Candidates can't be seen with him. And like, I find that to be insane for a number of reasons. Number one, I think the timing on that is awful. Okay. All of our energy right now, if you're for liberal democracy, if you're against Trump, if you think what's going on in this country is bad right now, all of our energy should be laser focused on undermining this regime and bringing in more people who are potentially opponents of the regime and adding them to our numbers, right? There is strength in numbers, whether that be at the No Kings protests, whether that be at the midterms this coming year, whether that be in 2028. Like, we need as many people as possible to brush back this threat that I believe seriously is an existential threat to the country. That's me, okay? And so right now in this moment, when Donald Trump is taking the entire world headlong into an energy crisis, where he's like engaging in a lawless war that he gave a nonsense speech about last night, that it was basically incomprehensible. We don't even know what the objective is. Like, when they are killing people in the streets of Minneapolis, like, this is not the moment to fucking nitpick some streamer who also opposes this. It's just not. All right. And on top of that, it's particularly not the moment to nitpick a streamer that reaches an audience of people that the Democrats are struggling with, and that right now is a particularly ripe moment to add them. People that are opposed to this war, people that are upset about Israel's prosecution of the war in Gaza, people that are upset about Israel's influence on our involvement in this war in Iran, people that are upset at the mostly Republican, let's be honest, but somewhat bipartisan, like, military industrial complex that has gotten us into war after war. Like, there are a lot of people out there that are against that. I'm about to play you some videos of some of them who were for Trump, and some of those are right wing people, but some of those are far left people who got hoodwinked. We can be honest, they got hoodwinked by Jill Stein and by a bunch of far left streamers and a bunch of people that convinced them that Kamala was going to get us into a war when really Trump was. We all saw that clearly. We can pat ourselves on the back. But right now, in this moment, when we're in this war, when people are feeling economic pain, this needs to be the moment to say, come on in to everybody, particularly people that are ranging from skeptical to hostile of this war and of actions in the Middle East. This needs a moment for that. And Hassan talks to some of those people. So to pick this moment, a month into the war, to pick this fight, is crazy. It's fucking crazy. And if you are a centrist, and I have some sympathies to that, obviously, if you're a moderate and you want to pick a fight with the left wing of the Democratic Party, let me tell you, there's a lot of potential options there. I mean, Lovett and I were talking about this week, about the mismanagement of California. They're trying to build a monorail there. They're not even breaking ground till 2041. We could go down the list. There are a bunch of things where the American people don't like the Democrats right now. And if you want to fight with the left of the party from the center, again, this I wouldn't think would be the moment to do that. But if you wanted to try to, you know, move the party to the center on something, on an issue, there are a bunch of them out there that the public would be on your side of. To pick Israel and Hassan Piker right now as the issue to fight about, to advance the interests of the center of the party, all you're doing is undermining the credibility of the center of the party, right? All you're doing, like, 90% of the Democrats voters are against this war. And the popularity of this war and of Israel and of Middle Eastern conflicts is going down by the minute within the Democratic coalition. And so for you to be like, now we as the centrist establishment serious types want to exile a far leftist from here because he has some impure thoughts about Israel. It's like, all you're doing is making him more powerful. All you're doing is making people think you're a bigger idiot to pick right now to have this fight. And it is truly, it's like madness. The entire country is moving the other direction. We can just be honest. It's moving Hassan's direction on the question of Israel. And you're like, we're going to pick a fight with him on that? Right now? When Bibi and Trump are careening the world economy, they got us in this war they don't know how to get out of. They're doing war crimes, shooting, bombing schools, girls' schools. What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't get it. We did this already 5 years ago where a bunch of liberals were like, you can't go on Joe Rogan. He had some bad opinions. I was just like, we can't do this shit again. Okay? You can't do this shit again. This is stupid. If you personally don't like Hassan Pecker, that's fine. Me and Hassan disagree on a bunch of stuff. We're going to argue about a bunch of stuff over the next coming years, the rest of our life, as long as we're streaming. We'll be arguing about various things, and that's fine. People can agree with me sometimes, him sometimes. Maybe some of you agree with me all the time, him all the time. That's fine. But like, what is the utility of trying to shun him and his audience right now if you're in the pro-democracy coalition? It's moronic. So, you know, some of the people that are involved in that, I talked to some of the guys from the Third Way, and they're like, we're opposed to the war. They've posted about that. They've tweeted that clearly. Like I said, that there is some evidence that, you know, Plattner and others have distanced themselves from Pecker, and so it sounds as if there hasn't been some effect to it. But I just think in the, like, short, medium term, like, the trajectory of this, like, this is just really, really dumb. Really, really dumb for me. And I explain this here on our Reddit page. We can pull back up the links. I'm about to show the other clips on our Reddit page. If you're not on our Reddit page, get on it. Here's this guy. Or maybe it's a woman. I guess I don't know. Does they say their name? Their Reddit handle is Witty. And they say that they started following Hassan back when they were in high school. And then after college, they became a full Hassanabi head. And he remains that today. But then Trump, too, started. He wanted to diversify their content, and the algorithm started serving him some other anti-Trump stuff, and they fell upon the Bulwark, and now this person's a big Bulwark fan, too. And, like, that is great. And that guy, I don't know, this person that wrote this probably disagrees with me on various things, but, like, that's okay. Maybe I'll make some good points some days and influence them. Maybe some days Hassan will make some good points and influence. That's the point. That's what we're doing. This Bulwark to Hassan pipeline, Hassan Piker to Bulwark pipeline, this is what we want people doing. This is what we want young people doing. Maybe some of you right now watching me didn't know about Hassan before this rant, and you'll go the other way. That's okay. That continuum from Hassan to us is what we want. That's a broad continuum. That's broader than Kamala's continuum, really. What I worry about with Hassan is people going the Hassan, not only this, to Candace pipeline. That's what I worry about. Okay? Because they maybe go to Hassan because they're upset about what's happening with Israel, and then they see some right-wing, real anti-Semites, like Hassan or Nick Fuentes or Tucker, and they're like, oh, I like that point. And then we lose people down the radicalization pipeline. That's what we don't want. Okay? So we don't want to scare those people out by saying, oh, you're not going to be welcome. We're going to say burn the witch if you want to come to our party. And so instead they start, you know, mainlining Candace.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
So there's my rant. I want to go on to some other stuff. Obviously, I had a lot to say about that. We'll look at some of your comments, and then we'll pull up some of the other things I want to talk about. Here's Riago. Anybody who says that associates with Hassan is grounds to not vote for the Dem nominee is unserious, has warped priorities, and doesn't understand the young voters Dems need. I concur. Do any of you people disagree with that? Let's see. Timmy Dank, a big problem with Hassan is a lot of people don't seem to know his true positions with promoting him. He's openly discussed trying to pipeline sock Dems into revolutionary politics. This is an interesting point. Hold on. I'm gonna finish my wine after that rant, and then I'll get to that. I'm back on that orange wine, which doesn't come from orange juice. Hassan might have a different pipeline idea. Okay. And that this is real, something to contend with, right? What I'm talking about is we kind of want the Hassan to Bulwark pipeline. What we don't want is the Hassan to Candace pipeline. Tammy Dank here is offering the other one, which is kind of like a Hassan to even more radical leftist Luigi Mangione style politics, just for shorthand. And I do oppose that. I don't believe we need violent revolution in this country. Obviously, I've been very clear on that. That is a hard red line for me. And I think that Hassan does have some like extreme views, the tanky views, that I disagree with. And I think that at some point, you know, we will be in a moment where that's worth arguing over or fighting over. And by the way, maybe me and him will fight over it, or Destiny and him will fight over it. And that's fucking fine. Do you know why? Because we're streamers. I'm an aspiring streamer who have different views that we're trying to share with the public. And we want people that are watching the streams to engage with us, and maybe people take something from us, and that would be great. So we should do that. John Ossoff doesn't need to worry about the tankiness. Why should John Ossoff even fucking know everything that Hassan says? Who cares? He's got a real job. He's a senator. So like, that is like my other point with this is like, okay, critiquing him in the marketplace of ideas, awesome. Like being a strategist or a think tank or a Democratic Party operative and saying that like this is a useful use of your time, that's what I'm a no at. This is a tabulator. No, Andrew, no. The 2024 election was not fraudulent. That's wrong. This is why we need people on the pipeline to bulwark. So you're getting true information. The election was not fraudulent. Do you want me to do this for a second for people? Because every once in a while we get this, and it's like, fine, we're going to do this. The closest states in the 2024 election were the swing states. Okay? Those were the closest states. The states where Trump gained the most ground were blue states. Okay? Deep blue states that he didn't have any chance to win. New Jersey, New York, California. He also gained quite a bit of ground in some red states like Texas, etc. If the Russians were trying to steal the election, why are they trying to rig the vote in Albany? Like, just think about this logically, we have an electoral college. If people were trying to steal the election, they'd been trying to steal the election in the swing states. And the swing states were Kamala did the best. So anyway, we could go on this deeper if you want, but it just isn't true. I'm sorry. Russell West, I think the principle of pluralism is the biggest blind spot of the far left. You will not find a bigger pluralism fan than me. We might as well call this the damn pluralism pod instead of the Bulwark podcast if you want to. I'm with you. I agree that I don't think Hassan sees any value in it, and I think that that's another big area of disagreement for us. The difference is you can criticize Saudi Arabia, Qatar, South Africa, Brazil, etc., without having millions of dollars dropped to you in a primary. This is a fair point, Jesse. Thank you for bringing this up. This is a totally fair point. That there's certain people that are more critical of Israel because of the way that Israel involves itself in our electoral politics. Now, Qatar, to be fair, Qatar and Saudi Arabia are deeply involved in our politics, but just like by paying off Trump family members and by lobbying in D.C. So it's not as if they aren't involved at all. But they're not doing the campaign stuff that you're seeing out of AIPAC. And I think that that's a fair deal. One second. I'm starting to get a little hot out here. I'm trying to get that AC fixed out over there. I got riled up. So the AIPAC involvement, particularly this cycle, has been pretty, I think that they've pretty much done an absolute self-own on their organization and their influence for a long time to come. I can't recall the last time an interest group has done more harm to their own cause than AIPAC has over the past 6 months. Just total, whatever you think about them and the mission they're trying to advance, just looking at this from a political strategist hat, unbelievable malpractice at AIR. Like the idea that they're going to torch their brand to try to win two House primaries is like to have two more, to avoid having two more squad members. Like what? No, it's so dumb, but people are rightly mad about it. And I talked to a strategist friend of mine who was talking about one of the races that they are consulting on, Democratic primary. And they're just basically like, if there's just not enough money in this race, you know, interest in this race for us to win, if AIPAC comes in and drops $20 million on our head, we're going to lose. So that's real. And so, yeah, I think that that's a legit thing to criticize. Again, like I said, Saudi and Qatar are also involved in our politics. And I do think that sometimes I understand why folks sometimes you know, especially Jewish folks, and the anti-Semitism problem is very real in this country right now. It is growing. The threats are real. There's a fucking terrorist attack on Temple Israel in Michigan 2 weeks ago. Okay? So it's real. All right? Those worries are real. And I think that their worries are sometimes when it's like when they see a person in the public eye and it's like the only group they ever, only country that ever criticizes Israel, that does raise some eyebrows because there are a lot of bad countries out there. And I think that is the point that I was trying to make there. But you're fair. Hassan doesn't support moderate Democrats against Republicans. It says Stubby. He called Harris a genocider. He kills enthusiasm for our candidates. Totally fair criticism of him. And I think that we should make that. But that is like not, again. So how is the mission advanced then by alienating him and his people more? I don't see it. I think co-opting is probably a better method. Don't tell him I said that. Fair though. He is an enemy of liberalism. Look at this. Some real anti-Assange heads out there. That could be true. Again, I want to make sure people understand the point I'm trying to make, which is that whatever your views are of Hassan Piker, the people that listen to Hassan Piker's show are very important demographic for Democrats to reach. And on the topic right now, that is the most salient topic in the news, acting like you think that the biggest issue facing the country is Hassan Piker and not Bibi and Trump demonstrates a horrific threat assessment analysis. And you're going to alienate those people and you're going to come out extremely out of touch with their concerns. So that said, totally fair point. And like I've ripped Hassan several times in the last few weeks. My issue is not with criticism of him. My issue is with the strategic decision to choose this fight right now and to elevate it and to do so in a way that hurts Democratic candidates who are trying to appeal to the people that Hassan appeals to. Here we go. Tim, you said you'd answer Hassan versus Candace Owens and be specific. What makes them different? He didn't vote for Kamala Harris. Well, Candace Owens voted for Donald Trump. So that's the main difference. I mean, Candace Owens has been voted for Trump 3 straight times. Candace Owens has no attachment to reality. Candace Owens is advancing like explicit anti-Semitic comments and hate speech against Jews and insulting people for being Jewish constantly. Like it's happening she's doing it all the time. Hassan is in touch with what is happening on the planet Earth. So that's a pretty big difference between him and Candace Owens. He talks about issues that actually matter. And regardless of whether you agree with him or not about, you know, issues, whether it be what happened in Gaza, whether it be Cuba, whether it be what's happening in Iran, whether it be, you know, cost of living, rent price, like he talks about a bunch of things that matter. Candace Owens did like a 6-part documentary series on Emmanuel Macron's wife having a dick and is working on a 6-point documentary series now about how Charlie Kirk's wife killed him. So that's what's happening on Candace Owens feed. And Hassan, and I mentioned having some bad people on that I disagree with, has on like regular Democrats all the time for them to have a platform. Well, not all the time. He doesn't have that many guests, but like he has them on to have a platform to talk to their guests. So that's my take on the difference between him and Candace. Big tents when elections numbers matter. I concur. Bunch of other stuff or any of this. Can we get serious for a second and get Bimbolicious? Do you want me to get the boobies back out? We'll talk about it. All right. We're going to get back to fun stuff. Am I short? No, I'm not fucking. I'm not short. What makes you think I'm short? I'm 6'5", Justin Lee from Substack. I am 6'5", right? A half inch. Not quite 6'1". If you don't interview Ryan Getty, can you really call yourself a small L liberal? Is that Ryan Getty himself? I hung out with Ryan in, where were we? Toronto? That's a good dude. He's got a good YouTube feed. You guys should go check him out. All right, let's move on to a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about. Though this is kind of related to what we were just talking about with Hassan. You know who has fucking terrible ideas? You know who has way worse ideas than Hassan? You know who is maybe one of the most pernicious people in all of the internet? A man that retweeted me tonight, Sneeko. Sneeko, if you don't know him, is a former gay porn star, allegedly, who then I think got so triggered by his own sexual interests that he flipped and became a hard right Muslim radical reactionary, but not like reactionary in like the radical Islam sense, but reactionary in like the manosphere, conservative, boys should be boys and girls should be girls and gender norms and traditionalist and all that sort of stuff. He puts just a lot of poison into the brains of young men who like to watch him like pretend to be macho and all that. I bumped into a Sneeko once at Spotify. We were doing a little streamer round table, and like he was kind of scared to touch me. I don't know if he's like worried he's gonna get cooties or something if I turn him gay, if I like just shook his hand. But very weird dude, huge following. What is he at? He's like got a million followers on X, is that right? Yeah, million. There he is. I miss Joe Biden, man. That's where we're at right now. Okay. People like fucking Sneeko miss Joe Biden. All right.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Now, do I think that the Democrats should be embracing Sneeko and co-opting all and taking all his views and carrying the baggage of all of the fucking crazy, deplorable shit he's done? No, I do not. Is engaging with the young men who are disaffected, who are watching the Sneeko stream, sensible? I think it is. I think there's a lot of fucking young men out there that now, that right now, that are having trouble getting a job, that are struggling financially, that are struggling with their self-esteem, that are looking at this administration and being like, you guys are fucking awful. You guys are totally disconnected from my interest, from my concerns, from my needs. And you're going off and doing this war in Iran for no reason. Like, we don't even know what you're doing it. And as a result, my tight budget is already going to be even tighter. I don't have enough money to pay for, you know, taking a girl out on a date, going out with the boys. I can't go have some fucking beers this weekend because I had to pay that much more in gas. Like, that's what a lot of dudes are feeling right now. It's a lot of what a lot of women are feeling too, but Democrats are doing better with young women. So the challenge is winning over young men. And so should the Democrats be like using this moment to try to engage with Sneeko and his audience, or should they be like wagging their finger? I mean, like, don't, you can't do anything that associates you with somebody who had some bad opinions. Look at Sneeko. Let's watch Sneeko. Look where Sneeko is right now. This is what the kids are watching.
80 years old. 80-year-old people, if your grandpa is 80 years old, you tell him you should not be able to drive a car anymore. We allow 80-year-old people to have nuclear codes. Ah! He's losing his mind. He has dementia. It's worse than Biden. How is he starting a war and saying it's unfair that they respond with an economic warfare, with economic warfare? You bomb the desalination plants. You bomb a school, Tomahawk missiles. Even China knows what you did. And they respond by keeping it economical. And you find it unfair. What did you think was going to happen? He really thought that this was just going to be Venezuela too. He's an 80-year-old.
I need my sound machine. A dude, I forget your name, I'm sorry, sent me a soundboard and I forgot it. Stream 4, I'm going to have a soundboard. Stream 3, bimbofication. Stream 4, soundboard. It's coming. Every point he made was right. He sounds more sensible than, obviously, the president, who was insane last night. He sounds more sensible than everything people are hearing on Fox. He sounds more sensible than some Democrats talking about this war right now. Being like, well, you have to... The Ayatollah was bad. It's just fucking blunt. This is an old guy with dementia getting us into a stupid war that is going to hurt us economically. That's Sneeko. That's what he. That's what his thoughts are. Let's hear a little bit more from him.
I agree.
Impeach.
Trump needs to be kicked out of office right now. It's kicked been out. A complete disaster. He's shown that he's not equipped for this war. He doesn't know what's going on. He's senile. He's lying. You know, he's just he's glazing the media, then changing his mind. He doesn't know if it's a war, if it's a conflict, begging for more money, wanting troops on the ground. If he's not impeached, then we are a failure as a country. And I said this from the beginning, and I'm more vindicated every day. This is a perfect example of a war, for maybe the first time in American history, where the majority of Americans want us to lose this war. And Trump should be impeached. I agree.
I mean, Sneeko is now outflanking most Democrats on Capitol Hill. Sneeko is a rabid Donald Trump supporter. The last time I saw his content, he was partying with Nick Fuentes and Clavicular and Andrew Tate at some place in Miami. Okay? And now he is out there being like, Trump should just be impeached. We should get rid of him. And like Americans are so pissed about this, they want the war to lose. You can see it in the comments there. I mean, so is Sneeko an anti-Semite? Yeah, probably. I haven't seen enough of his oof to know for 100% sure, but he sure seems like an anti-Semite to me. He smells like an anti-Semite. You know, if it quacks like an anti-Semite, it probably is. Yeah. Like, do I want Sneeko to be in the United States Senate? I do not. Okay. Would I oppose Sneeko if he were to try to attain public office? Vigorously. As vigorously as possible. I might even move to the district and campaign against him. But in the meantime, should Democrats and others and the anti-Trump coalition and the pro-democracy coalition be trying to reach his audience and say, hey, guys, you know, we might disagree on this and that, but like he's making some points. If you put us back in charge, we're not going to be doing this stupid shit anymore. Okay? We're going to be caring more about your needs. Yeah, I think so. Let's keep going.
Just fucking stop. What do you need?
Here's one other thing. If these idiots understand this shit better than Democratic strategists, then find a new job. Okay. If these idiots seem to understand stuff better than all of the Trump apologists, most of the Republicans in Congress, they seem to be smarter than Hugh Hewitt and Rich Lowry and everybody on Fox. And it's like, you should start to question yourself. Start to question yourself if you're analyzing what's happening in the war and you're like, you know, I'm really stretching to try to defend what's happening here, to try to rationalize it. And, you know, people with 12 IQ like Sneeko and Theo are saying things clearly. It should make you reflect a little bit. But here we go. Let's go back to Theo.
Topic. What do you need?
Well, they're trying to supposedly stop the terrorists.
Yeah, that's crazy, though, if you're the fucking terrorist. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to stop them, fucking stand in front of the fucking mirror and start there.
I mean, 2 months ago, Theo was sucking J.D. Vance's cock, okay? And now he's calling him a terrorist. Things can change in this brave new world, all right? These guys, as I've been saying for years now, are not partisan Republicans. This is not Charlie Kirk. All right. All these people are gettable. Do they all have some views that are troublesome? They do. But let me tell you, Barack Obama had the votes of a lot of people in the Hassan Piker, Sneeko, Theo Von, Joe Rogan or area. You know, people that had that type of views. Far leftists, just kind of stoners. Right wing, anti-war, disaffected young men. Like Barack Obama won those types of voters. Democrats have not won any of those voters since 2016. Trump won them all. It's all crumbling right now. It's all crumbling. And it's like all those of us on the pro-democracy left need to do is just accept the manna from heaven, which is Trump's disastrous decision to go to this war and fuck up everybody's life. Just accept it. Accept the bounty and welcome all the idiots and the conspiracy theorists and the reactionaries and the radicals into the tent. It's like, hello, we're doing it. Okay. Sorry, we did an echo there. I got riled up and I'm echoing myself. That's what we need to do right now. Theo, Sneeko, Hassan, bad views on stuff. Really dumb. Bad judgment. I think going forward, I would recommend people go the Hassan to Bulwark pipeline, the Theo to Bulwark pipeline, because we had good judgment. We could have told you that he's going to fuck everything up. Okay? But we want them to. Let's ride on that little, take that luge. Take that luge from the Theo Von podcast over here to this one. That's great. That's what we want. I want to laugh at Dan Crenshaw, but we're going to go to your comments first. We've been receiving a lot of comments. I got a really good one, but it's like, how do I find it? They starred so many comments. I'm not going to be able to find it. There's too many. But 1928D, man, I appreciate you. He's the dude that made the post on Reddit. He's watching the stream right now. And he says that me and Hassan are preaching a very positive message at this moment of time. Hassan's rooting for AOC. We all like AOC. Hassan's voting. He podcasts. That's his point. Like, yeah, sure. At times he's been a problem, but now he's trying to be positive. Oh, there it is. I fucking get it. You got to put it on screen if I fucking get it, you know? All right, don't get it twisted. What do we got here? 80% of Democratic voters have more sympathy for Palestine than Israel. Yeah, I'm not getting it twisted. That's my point. This is my point. It's like, if you want to fight with the far left about their extreme views on various things, their illiberalism, the tankies, I'm for that. I'm for that. Let's fight with them. I don't know. We have a bunch of stuff we disagree on. Okay, I'm not trying to bring in the great socialist future. It's not what this show is about. But you can fight with them on Israel right now when they've got us into the stupid fucking war that's going to ruin everybody's life, make the economy worse, and also just fundamentally, just like on the facts, like you can just see the war crimes that have been happening. Yeah, no wonder 80% of the Democratic voters have more sympathy. Of course they do. So why fight on that? Stupid. Can I get a message to Partners Team? I don't know. I had Morris Katz on the show a couple weeks ago. If you guys missed that, you can go check out that pod. That was pretty good. He's a Marine who knows firsthand how a broken military sexual assault reporting is. Make that your policy platform. Stop playing defense. Okay. Morris Katz, if you're out there, here's a message from Catherine O. Smith. What do we got? Fusion voting. I got to tell you, I'm okay with fusion voting. Fusion voting for people is like, let's just pull it up so I get this right. I understand it in my, we'll come back to Dan. I understand it in my brain, but I don't know if I'm going to explain it well enough to not screw it up. It's electoral practice that allows two or more political parties to nominate the same candidate, enabling voters to support that candidate under different party labels. Yeah, right. So it's like in New York, you can run as a Working Families Party candidate and a Democratic Party candidate. I'm fine with that. I don't know if that's the secret sauce that's going to save us. Where were we? We're on Dan. Ooh, we're going to get to that in a sec. I don't hate it. I'm secretly kind of a ranked choice voting hater, but we can get back to that in a second. I'm an independent who watches you and Hassan. I agree and disagree with you both at times. Great. Sweet. Same. Thank you for this. I'm a boomer. Help me make sense of the big picture. This post isn't trying to be clever, just saying thanks. Hey, I appreciate that. Ludo, you can't be both an ethno-state and expect special treatment as the only democracy in the Middle East. That's a fair point. Totally fair point. Caleb, is Jason Calacana still justifying this shit? Have him back on. I'll get my cigarette ready. Do we want J. Cal back on? For people who don't know, he's at the All In podcast. He's one of these tech bro guys. His co-host on the podcast was David Balsack, who ended up being Trump's AI and crypto czar. This guy Chamath Palihapitiya, who's one of the worst people I've ever encountered, and then Friedberg, who seems like a fine guy. But a little Trumpy for my taste. But so the four of those guys, they have a tech podcast, All In. It kind of turned into a politics podcast, really, because everyone's talking about politics these days. And anyway, I had Jay Cal, who's the most reasonable of the four, on my show before the election, where he was kind of vacillating between Trump and Kamala. And then we've reconnected, where he was kind of giving a lukewarm but more positive than I would defense for the Trump first or second term, excuse me. He tweeted at me yesterday. He seems like he's about off the bus. So this is a good time to check back in with him. I will do that. These the people didn't get the memo back when Trump wanted to inject bleach. Unfortunately, they didn't. I know this is tough for people. This is tough for me. It's tough for everybody. It's like, how stupid were you people? How stupid were you people? I know. It feels good to say that. But, you know, listen to the Focus Group podcast if you want to understand what's happening with the reels out there. I'm cooking. Thank you. Thank you. I'm trying my best. When corpo Dems hedge on things, the right has no problem saying they sound like they're living in a different universe. I want there to be strong fighting mods, baby. Give me some fighting mods. That's what I want. All right. I'm not going full tank. I fucking hate the illiberal left. Okay. But I want people that want to speak clearly about this war, speak clearly about Israel, speak clearly about BB, speak clearly about Trump, about what's happening right now. Speak clearly about MBS and, you know, all of the fucking corrupt oligarchs that are involved in this. That's what people want. And if like the only people speaking clearly about the corrupt oligarchs and this war in Iran are lefties, guess what you're going to get? Lefties. I lived through this in 2010. Okay. You can see where things are going. Here from the Destiny Pipeline, we might be pipelining back sometime soon. We'll talk about that. I'm a boomer with a lot of opinions. It's sending gratitudes to Tim. I just don't know kids who have giant platforms but don't have PhDs. My little brother has a doctorate now. That's okay. Love you. The Bullhawks, you and the board co-host are the voice of reason. Only show that makes me feel less crazy. I appreciate that. Let's go over to Substack for a second here. Cats Lady. Does anyone around Trump realize how down they are with their own voters? This is a great question. There's a leak out today from Susie Wiles where she is basically saying she thinks people aren't giving Trump the truth internally. And that wouldn't surprise me if that is true. I don't know exactly what they're showing him to make him think things are going well. It's like, how many Life, Liberty, and Levin clips can you show Grandpa before he starts to wonder what they're saying on the other shows? But I think that there are people around him that realize it, but I don't know that Trump realizes it. Okay. Oh, ooh, I did see that, Mary. We'll get back to that. All right, let's watch some other clips. We got some other clips here. I got a big kick out of this one. Dan Crenshaw, my old friend from the Piers Morgan show. It's tough being really right. And if you want to see somebody that is really right, you go back, you watch, you just get yourself a joint or a, you know, little bucket of ice cream or a glass of wine, whatever you want, and you go back and watch me and Dan Crenshaw fight on the Piers Morgan show and just see how right I was. So given that, I do like to rub in the wounds. Let's see what Dan's to now.
So the thing, especially conservatives, there's nothing they love more than to tear down their own and figure out a reason why, even if they have to make it up. And it's a sort of part of the culture, right? It's like, let's go rhino hunting. You know, the Democrats don't have a term like that, but the Republicans do. That's been going on for years and years and years. And it's been, I think the source of a lot of it is to Senator Cruz.
That's about to ask about him since he endorsed.
Yeah. I mean, that's been obvious to me for years, years and years and years. That's been obvious to me. He just finally pulled his mask off. Maybe he'll look better now. But
oh, burn.
Laugh. That was so mean. Are you saying he doesn't? Anyway, you laughed. I didn't laugh. You laughed. I just can't hold it together.
I'm bored with Dan. I think it's funny that Dan believes that Ted Cruz was scared of him. Nobody likes Dan Crenshaw. That's why he lost his primary. He had no chance running for the Senate. I hope he runs for something else again because he'll get schlonged. We've got some blind reacts that Ansley and Jared sent me. I've been crushing it today that you guys haven't had to intervene. Have I missed anything? Have I gotten any facts wrong? You know, do you have any feedback for me, Ansley and Jared? For those who are new to the stream, we do have Ansley and Jared here to help me out. And Jared made the wonderful In Memoriam video. Ansley, you're in the stream. Have I fucked anything up?
You're crushing it. You're doing great.
Look at cooking.
68 minutes of blah, blah, blah without one mistake. You know what I fucked up today? I like to brag about this fuck up because it shows my the last vestiges of my youth. I called Nixon's Attorney General George Mitchell, who's a senator, actually, and his Attorney General that went to jail was John Mitchell. So I got that wrong and I missed now today. That was kind of embarrassing. Okay, let's do the blind watch. Jeff Van Drew, this guy was a Democrat. And then he got Botox and went Republican. It's just, I don't know what it is about the botulism, but be careful about that out there if you're a Democrat. Let's watch.
The list goes on and on of all the things. Our gas tax automatically increases in New Jersey. And by the way, so do our tolls and our fees automatically increase. All of that. Now we're going to have on top of that, and I'm talking to my folks in New Jersey, my state, you better just keep breaking your back and working hard. Maybe get yet another job. The list goes on and on.
Well, that's good. That's a good message. That's a good message to the people of New Jersey. You better just be breaking your back and get another job because the president's screwing everything up. District. What district is he in? Let's see here. He's in New Jersey 2. Let's get the PVI in New Jersey 2nd District. PVI. What do we got here? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, R+5. PVI is the partisan voter index. It's kind of an assessment of whether there's more Republicans or Democrats in a district. I think that we're going to be adding Jeff Van Drew to the In Memoriam here in a couple of months. So start to get your stock images on that ready, Jared, because I think we're going to not have to look at that guy's face much longer. What do we got here? Getting a bunch of texts, but is any of this about me? No.
We got one correction from the folks in the chat.
Okay, great. One correction. Thank you, chat. What was the correction?
Apparently, Sketch is the alleged gay porn star, not Sneeko. Wrong streamer.
Sneeko did some gay porn. No?
Well, don't search that. We can effort that for you.
I can't search it? We don't know it'll show up?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Can you effort that? I believe, yeah, I am pretty sure that Sneeko did some gay porn. Not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. Is the screen frozen, though? Did you freeze me because you're worried I was going to search gay porn?
I did not freeze you.
All right. Well, do we have James Fish back here? Can I pull that? Oh, that's not going anymore. Okay, Jared, well, we're going to have to get that ready. Maybe let me reboot this bad boy because I do have some Tiger Woods talk. Why don't we set everybody up? We've got what? We got about 20 minutes left. I have a big personal question that I want to set everybody up for, and it will give us time to get the feedback in the chat. And then we'll go back to politics. And the big personal question is this. I should have wished everybody a happy Passover. I guess if you are a Jewish streamer and you're watching this right now, you're probably not celebrating Passover, but maybe I'm at. Maybe somebody's playing this at a Passover supper somewhere in America. And if so, happy Passover. Easter is coming for us Gentiles here on Sunday. And my daughter, trigger warning right now. If you're streaming this and you have a child under the age of 13 around, mute it for 2 minutes, okay? Or tell them to go away. I'm not going to be cussing or talking about bimbofication. It's going to be about something much more important than that. My child is 8, okay, 2nd grade. And, you know, it's Easter weekend. We were thinking about having some people over on Saturday. We have some social obligations, and they have this great gay Easter parade in New Orleans in the afternoon on Sunday. So if the weather holds up, you can probably see me out there at the gay Easter parade this weekend. And the question that we were having in the car earlier today, me and my husband, is like, do we just tell her about the Easter bunny now? Like, do we just tell her about the Easter bunny? Like, do we really have to keep going through this rigmarole still? I was against it. I wanted, everyone's going to hate me for this, I was an arguer for radical candor at the start. There was just like the whole deal, Santa, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, just ripping off the Band-Aid immediately and just saying this is a radical candor household. My husband was against that strongly. You know, the joy of childhood wonder. He won me over on that. Christmas morning is really nice. The wonder is nice. The magic. That said, like the Easter bunny, it's just like so ridiculous. Like, what is it? Like the bunny is why is it hiding plastic egg? Like the whole story is ridiculous. Do we have to do it? You know, it's one thing if it was like we had to do 2-hour church service, like I did as a kid. Then it's kind of a reward at the end. But like, we're just going to be hanging out. We're going to go to brunch and go to a parade where people throw beads and candy at us. So the question is, do we tell her? Age 8, too early, or too late? I should have done it already. Or just the right age? Is this the right time for the porridge? Please let me know in the comments if we can get a poll. There we go. Should I tell the truth about the Easter Bunny? You can vote there right now. Over on YouTube. Oh, it's tight right now. Get your vote in on whether I should do it. We had a couple more videos I wanted to show. Back, are we live, Jared? We got this bad boy going. Do I need to get Bimbo fight again? Okay, this is a good one. If you haven't seen this yet, you're in for a doozy. This is Tiger Woods after he crashed his car, got a DUI. Walking around there in Florida. Let's listen to him. Can people hear this? No? There he is. There's Tiger. Oh, yeah.
Tim, you need to unmute your screen share audio.
Okay. Well, we'll have to figure that out later, Jared. We did pretty good. I did pretty good, okay? I bimbo-fied myself on the stream. And that means that I was going to, you know, bimbo-fy various things. Do a himbo. I guess himbo. Let's be fair. Let's not be misogynistic. I was going to be a himbo on the stream. I don't know how to turn the thing back up.
If you just restart the screen share, it should work.
Oh, okay. Meantime, I'll try to do that. And we can just talk about that without having seen it. And that is Tiger Woods saying that he talked to President Trump after he got the DUI. So one of two things is happening. Tiger Woods is either just like totally fabricating that or he's imagining it. He's hallucinating it. Or, like, him and Trump are just chatting post-DUI. Maybe he's asking for a pardon. Let's see if we can get it to work one more time. Oh, yeah, there we go. We got to go back here, though.
Mr. Woods. We'll get you to hang out down here with us, please.
Thank you so much. All right. You got it. All right. Thank you. Bye. Say again?
I just keep you down here with us, please.
Yeah, I was talking to the president.
Oh, I don't know, man. That's kind of like, did you know who my dad is? A couple of my friends tried that one in high school. We were getting into trouble. My friends' dads weren't even that important, and they tried that. One time, we got drunk at Waterworld. Is that what it was called? It was a water park in suburban Denver. We got a little loose there. A couple of my friends got kicked out of the water park. One of them got arrested, minor in possession. Not me, because I was not doing anything, officer. And he got arrested for minor in possession of alcohol and started yelling at the cop about doing those who his dad is. His dad's like a real estate developer or something. His dad wasn't even important. That is like that for Tiger to me. I was talking to the president. Oh, wait, do we have an answer on whether Sneeko did gay porn, Ansley?
Yeah. So it appears perhaps, pull out your Tim is always right, apparel, I guess, and not the commenters. Cause it appears there are some grounds for those allegations. There are some pictures that I think might get us banned, okay. On a platform, but okay. Yeah, he says most of the pictures are fake, but some are real. So
suck on that, commenters. All right. Now, questioning my knowledge of bisexual streamers. Come on, guys. This is my area of expertise. All right. Correct me on Nixon cabinet members. Sure. I might have a miss on that a little before my time, but I know which streamers dabbled in gay porn. Okay. And mostly it's Michael Knowles and Sneeko, as best as I can tell. What else do we have? Okay, do we have one, we have one more serious thing, then I'll go through some questions, a little basketball. We'll see what the results were of the Easter Bunny poll, and we'll all enjoy the rest of our Passover night together. This, a bunch of you are mad at me on our Reddit. I'm not listening to every podcast Tim is on, so I don't know if he's ever vocalized this, but is he being serious with this? So, how many responses? There are like 147 comments. They're almost all like, fuck you, Tim. I take feedback. I screw things up sometimes. I'm wrong sometimes. I take seriously the feedback of the people that I think I need to even be even meaner than I've been. I think I've made very clear our differences. In this case, though, this is what was happening. I don't have the tweet in front of this, but I tweeted about how Trump needs an exit. Like, he needs to get out of this, like, because the Iran war is such a catastrophe and a debacle, and he doesn't, and like every day it goes on, the economic consequences compound exponentially. This is guy Vincent Dowling. I don't know him personally, but he messaged me a bunch on Twitter, and he was saying this: my honest advice to Trump, I say this is someone riddled TDS, this is a never Trumper, accept a humiliating deal with Iran, then immediately pull a Venezuela and Cuba, capture the leader. The latter will distract the ignominy of the former, and the latter is achievable. Totally agree. Here, this is me. I said totally agree. The totally agree here is this is a hypothetical situation where I'm advising Trump on how to get out of the Iran war and save face. As a person right now, I don't want him to do a coup in Cuba. He's fucking up the one that he is working on now. Okay. Like, I don't want Trump to do anything. Like, my honest advice to Trump is do golf, work on the new armrests at Trump Kennedy Center, eat your porridge, you know, sit in front of your stories on TV, bleat, you know, complain about when the hosts aren't nice enough to you. That's how you should spend the rest of your presidency, as far as I'm concerned. Do as little as possible. Count your Melania coin, like that. Like, do nothing would be my advice to Trump. But like in the situation that this guy is offering, we're like trying to say, hey, what would I say to Trump to try to help him save face in Iran and you know, move on, do the Trump thing where he's like, oh, hey, look over here instead. That is a good idea for like Trump to save face. Like just looking at it through the prism of you're a person that's trying to give Trump advice and how he should stay face. So that was it. That's all I was doing. I'm not. A lot of people in there is like, Tim's showing his real neocon. He's ready to storm the beaches of Cuba. Me and JFK. No, I don't. I mean, I would like for freedom for the Cuban people. I don't. I'm not as impressed with how well things are going in Cuba as Hassan is. We're talking about the man of the hour. But like, I think it would be great if Cuba, you know, entered the market economy, the community of nations. We could do trade. You know, Cuba ends up looking more like what's happening in some of the more dynamic economic zones in Central America and South America, the Caribbean. That would be nice, but I don't want it to be Haiti, and I don't want Donald Trump to be in charge. So that's where I'm at on that. We're gonna go back to your questions. We're gonna do a little more basketball, and then we'll call it good here. What do we got here in the questions? Let's see. Who do I think is leaking to the Daily Mail? This is a great question. Because Daily Mail has had Brian's boobies, Pam Bondi begging like a dog to keep her job. They've had a couple other ones lately. Corey's an interesting one. He's spurned. Killing it, Tim. Love these lines. Thanks for showing yourself into the fray. Appreciate you, Shauna. Imagine if we hadn't attacked Iran and Trump could have just taken credit for the moon launch instead. Again, yeah, so that is better, but let's just be honest. That is better advice than what Vincent and I were saying about Cuba. Like, just like, talk about the moon launch. Like, it's me. I'm doing it. Moon stuff. Give people moon pies. Everybody in the country gets a moon pie. Do something like that. That'd be better than war with Iran. Odds of Bundy does time. I think pretty low, unfortunately. I think she's low on the list of possible jail time from the administration. Mary, if we can create a coalition with some Manosphere guys and others against Trump, we might be able to persuade them on other issues later. That doesn't seem crazy. I got to tell you, just using Theo Vaughn as an example, because he's the guy I know the best out of this. Theo was like, didn't even think about most of the issues, right? Like he had a few issues he cares about. He cared about, you know, cost of healthcare. He had some personal issues related to that. You know, there like various, he is from the South, so there's some cultural elements, but like he got sicked into Trump world, like through like fucking MMA and anti-war and Rogan universe and Maha. And, you know, he cares about that, you know, Maha nonsense. It's like, okay, whatever. That's not as harmful as a lot of the other stuff. I mean, the anti-vax stuff is. Anti-vax stuff is insane. But like, you know, no pesticides in foods. You know, there's places we could find common ground on that. But anyway, this is what happens to a person. Like you switch teams, you put on the new team jersey, and all of a sudden you're like, you know, I do hate trans people, actually. You know what I mean? Like, and so if we can get them to put on the other team jersey and be like, look, MAGA is terrible. Fuck them. Then they might be more persuadable on other issues. That's exactly right, Mary. That's like basic psychology. It's how the human brain works. Russell West, my mom to this day has not owned up to the Easter Bunny or Santa. Neither is my mother. God love you, mom. And maybe that is, should I do some self-psychology today? Like sitting on the couch. Like maybe that is why I wanted to just do radical candor with my child, just to like do like the, I'm not going to do what my mom did thing. Even though my mom was a great mother, but you know, there just is a contrarianness sometimes in us little brats. Mothers out there, God love you. Got to deal with us. What else we got? Clean and sober nation. Good for you. Don't fuck with the bunny. Okay, fine. Lovely cats. Fun story. My family is Ukrainian Orthodox. When my mom was young, she asked her brother why we don't have an Easter bunny. And he told her it's because the Russians killed our Easter bunny. Oh my god, that is so good. I love your brother. Send him my love. That is amazing. Tiger is dating Vanessa Trump. I had fucking forgot that. Thank you, Diana. That I thought that was so weird. Oh, that all makes sense now. I'm so locked in on all of the micro dramas on the internet these days you know, it's so rare that one goes by that I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about, at least in the politics adjacent world. But there was something about how Kai Trump wasn't in the car with Tiger. And I saw a couple of people tweet that. And I thought it was an inside joke I was missing. I was like, well, why? What Kai is Don Jr.'s daughter, golfer. And I was like, maybe it's a joke because she golfs and they live in Florida. But that's why, because her mom is dating Tiger. And that, so obviously that's the answer. He did call Trump. This could be the new father-in-law. You know, it's so sad that everything pure about your childhood gets made impure when you get old. I mean, Tiger versus Phil, they both ended up being fucking douches. MAGA douches, both of them. Close the crank gap, but that means both to the left or our right on varying issues. I agree with that, Hunter. We need some cranks. We need some fucking cranks in our coalition. Welcome aboard. We need free speech norms back. I agree with that. Wayne says he was telling Trump he won't be in Trump's foursome for golf this weekend. That could be. McKay, you don't need to have Hassan Piker on the pod. You guys kind of trash him. I think if y'all taught you to... Oh, you do need to have him on. Like I said, I trash him when I disagree with him, and we just... I think we have some fundamental differences about what we want to see the country look like. But I think we agree on a lot of stuff. As I said, we hung out and he was friendly and we argued in private and good cheer. And it was good. Maybe we'll do more. Susan from Substack, which cabinet member will be fired next? I got cash. Explain to me the logic of having Pam Bondi and not Cash. I mean, they're both in the federal law enforcement. They both have failed to nab any of Trump's political foes. Cash has been more embarrassing, if anything. I feel like time is coming for Cash. Pretty Hate Machine was just here for the Bazoombas. Bazoomba. Thank you. I learned early, when you stop believing, they stop coming. I'm 45 and Santa still fills my stocking. Good for you. Can we please go out with some iconic boos? Who do I need to boo, though? I'm not feeling very booey right now. I'm going to give you something else fun to go out with. I'm sorry. I like to make the people happy, but I don't, I'm kind of enjoying myself tonight. Most likely to appeal people to see jail time. I think some in the DHS area. I don't know if it rises as high as Christie and Corey, but I think that Corey, Holman, Bovino, Christie right now are top of the pops on potential jail time. Trump family members, I wouldn't sleep on them either. Telling a kid the Easter Bunny reel maybe means saying there's no resurrection in heaven. I don't think an 8-year-old needs to consider that. This is interesting, Lisa. If anybody has a fun one, post me one more fun one. And then this is a little heavy. But my daughter did ask me about God and heaven the other day, and I told her what I think, which is I don't know what the truth is. And nobody really knows, and we're all trying to figure out. That's all part of life's journey. And, we have friends and loved ones and family members who like really fully believe in it, and we have others that don't. And, you know, this is something that we're all growing and trying to come to greater understanding about. She's like, okay. So anyway, I think I could cancel the Easter Bunny without bringing up the resurrection. But I appreciate your thought. It's a legit thought. Okay, anything fun? More fun? Make Mr. Tim tell her the bunny was a lie. He wanted it. That makes me feel bad. What was the final vote count? Do we have a final vote count on the bunny? What's the word? Peter from Substack. Which comes first? Trump reaching the Bush line or 150 buck crude? I think they might happen simultaneously. The Bush line is coming. The Bush line is coming, and we're trying to go below the Bush line, below the water table line. We're trying to get deep, deep, deep into the pelvic floor. All right, guys, that's that. I'm not going to do basketball tonight. We're gonna look at old Nate Silver. Nate Silver's Trump's net support is plummeting right now. We enjoy that. We're happy that Nate Silver is sharing that with us. And so I'm not going to do basketball. I do think his idea about how to fix the NBA was stupid. If you guys really want me to do basketball, we can do that next week. Or we can have a bonus one of these. I don't know. Let me know in the comments. What I want to do instead is for the people that came late, for the people that hung out, I would like to leave us with the In Memoriam video one more time. I want to watch it one more time. Give it to me one more time. Oh, wait. Before you give it to me one more time, we need to know who won, what the poll result was. Jared, Ansley, am I telling Toulouse about the Easter Bunny? Do we know? We don't know?
56% no.
One more year, Toulouse. One more year, you get reprieve. Thank you to the listeners. Let's watch In Memoriam. Thank you for hanging out with me. I appreciate everybody very much. I'll be back tomorrow for the podcast. We got Bob Kagan, who's cranky. I need cranky. Cranky little Friday for everybody. With that, Jared, you got it? You ready? In Memoriam?
Yep.
See everybody. Wait, hold on. Yeah.
Have you apologized to President Trump? You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. They are talking about Epstein today. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. That's what we should be talking about.
So, Secretary Noem, at any time during your tenure as Director of Department of Homeland Security, have you had sexual relations with Corey Lewandowski?
Mr. Chairman, I am shocked that we're going down and peddling tabloid garbage in this committee today.
Reclaiming
and
my
ma'am,
time.
One thing that I would tell you is that he is a special government employee who works for the White House.
You must be a very special little boy, but I hear that you're starting to use the big boy toilet. So congratulations, and you're doing a great job with your poopies. Congratulations. I know your mom is gonna be so happy for you. and I want to thank you in advance for being a Donald Trump supporter when you get older. All the best from your daddy, Papa Dickie.
Thanks, everybody.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.